Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Ahead of tonight's first presidential debate, two stories have dominated the race in the past few days: the Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett and the New York Times report showing President Trump is paid little or no federal income tax in over a decade. No voters are likely paying more attention to these issues than those in swing state New Hampshire, which is important to both campaigns. We spoke to three New Hampshire independents and found all three have already made up their minds. One is supporting Donald Trump, and two are backing Joe Biden.
My name is Sheridan Brown. I'm a resident of Grantham, New Hampshire. I'm an attorney and conservation advocate, and I'm supporting Joe Biden in this election.
My name is Robert Foho. I live in Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm an attorney as well, and I'm supporting Donald Trump in this election.
Elizabeth Sides. I am a stay-at-home mom. I live in Hopkinton, New Hampshire, and I am supporting Biden.
Elizabeth, you were on the Biden train since the beginning. How's he been doing?
I think he's kind of been the candidate that I've always wanted him to be because I think he's the most stable. For me, he just brings some sort of normalcy back to the presidency, and I'm excited.
Sheridan, when we last spoke in January, you were supporting Colorado Senator Bennett in the presidential primaries. How do you feel about Joe Biden's performance in the general election so far?
I'm coming to this as an independent, former Republican, now independent, and I'm not looking for somebody that's going very far to the left. And I think Biden is running a campaign that some people might think is a little too safe. But for me, I'm very happy with it because I think he's avoiding mistakes.
Robert, as a supporter of Donald Trump, what is it about Joe Biden that turns you off?
Well, I've always been a conservative. My parents are Cuban. They came from Cuba in the 1960s. They escaped the Castro communist regime. Socialism and communism are responsible for the deaths of millions of people since the advent of those philosophies. So yes, I am firmly opposed to any types of one-size-fits-all top-down promises and policies and programs like the Affordable Care Act. I think Joe Biden, part of his campaign involves making all sorts of promises to his constituents, and I think that's a dangerous move because the government can't possibly fulfill all of these promises.
As I understand it, you voted for Donald Trump in 2016. Explain why he deserves re-election.
He has followed through on many of the promises that he made. He's cut taxes. He's strengthened the economy. He has brokered peace deals in the Middle East. And he is the quintessential outsider in American politics. He's not some milquetoast Republican who becomes afraid when the left and when the media begin to attack him and his positions. And not only that, he picks fights with liberals and the media in a very humorous way. And he's somewhat of a brawler and has always taken the fight to them, and his constituents love to see that.
All right, the Supreme Court nomination of Amy Coney Barrett, a favorite of conservatives. Tell us your thoughts on this nomination. And Elizabeth, why don't you start this time?
So I'll be very honest, I don't know a lot about her, except she is someone who would definitely vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, and that scares me a lot. I have two daughters.
Robert, why don't you weigh in here?
I think Amy Coney Barrett is a very smart and very principled judge. There's always a major point of confusion regarding Roe v. Wade, because if Roe v. Wade were overturned, all that would do is just create a vacuum of laws. There'd be no laws now on the books for Roe v. Wade. Every state then would be free to enact whatever laws they want on abortion. And I cannot fathom in this progressive day and age that we live in that any state would just outlaw it entirely.
Sheridan Brown.
What's really concerning to me about this is not so much the social issues, not just the abortion, the stance on faith. It's that this is just another extension of what the current iteration of the Republican or Trump-Publican Party wants to do. And they want policies and they want judges that will uphold those policies, and they want to remove pretty much all the guardrails under the guise of freedom. You know, they'd love to roll things back to an era where if you could find somebody desperate enough for work, you could make them work, you know, 70-hour weeks for crap pay. And, you know, I just think that the way to a good economy in Republicans' minds at this point, and the thing that's driven me from the party, is that it's a regulatory race to the bottom. There's a sense that everything is a big affront to civil liberties, and we shouldn't have any guardrails at all to protect people.
As we know, access to President Trump's tax returns has long been an issue as Mr. Trump has repeatedly refused to release them. But the New York Times is reporting it's obtained a range of records that show, among other things, he paid just $750 in income taxes the year before he was elected in 2016, and just another $750 in the first year he was in the White House, and paid no income taxes at all for 10 of the last 15 years, according to the Times, because of the huge business losses that he claimed on his taxes. What's your reaction to that? What do you make of it?
Oh, well, I think for his supporters, they're going to say, well, this makes him a smart businessman because he didn't pay much in taxes. He figured out a way to beat the system. For me, I think it makes him what I already thought, which is, you know, a fraud and a freeloader.
Robert, you weigh in here.
It's very difficult for anyone to opine on Trump's tax returns without actually revealing his tax returns. I looked at the Times story, and they're saying they can't reveal their sources because they want to preserve the integrity of their sources. So we're operating on incomplete information here. And I believe that he's a very successful businessman with many, many businesses. There's a very complicated tax picture here that none of us in this discussion are qualified to opine on.
Can I just add one thing to Robert's analysis? You know, I think for folks who've grown up blue collar, the whole academic analysis that Trump supporters give this stuff really rings hollow, and it's really upsetting. I had the experience of having a job since age 13 to put away money, work my way through college, whatnot. And I had times where I had self-employment taxes when I was not knowledgeable about what I should be withholding, and I owed taxes, and I went on a payment plan to square it with the IRS with ridiculous amounts of interest. I didn't take the easy way out. I didn't get a break. I didn't think I would be smart if I didn't pay it somehow. I just paid the bill.
Tell me what your biggest fear is for 2020 and your biggest hope for 2020. Elizabeth.
My fear is that the cognitive dissonance of his supporters continues. What I hope is that Joe Biden's elected and people can maybe slowly let go of some of the distrust in government, and that, you know, I'm not embarrassed to have my kids watch the news. I don't think it's funny when he makes fun of people. I don't think it's funny when he yells at reporters and the media. So I hope that ends. I hope kindness comes back because I think we need it during a pandemic. I just wish everyone would be kind.
I want to thank you all for being here today. Thank you very much for the discussion. Elizabeth Sides from Hopkinton, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. It's always fun.
Sheridan Brown from Grantham, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be here.
Robert Foho from Manchester, thank you.
Thank you, Bob. It was a pleasure.